Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety talk show
and giving
whose only
all the power to the
change.
That were only going to bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Hi, and welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show, Job Search Secrets. Our guest today is an author, speaker, recruiter, and her name is Abby Kohut. She's also well-known on the web as Absolutely Abby. She's the president of Staffing Symphony, LLC. In the past 16 years, Abby has worked for major companies and held positions as senior director of recruiting, interim director of recruiting, manager of global recruiting, and recruiting consultant, and as a recruiting consultant. Her website, absolutelyabby.com, and her book, Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets, teaches candidates secrets about the job search process that other recruiters won't tell you. Since 2010, Abby has been on a mission to help millions of job seekers find jobs, and she has been selected as one of the Monster 11 for 2011, career expert who can help your job search. And this year, 2012, she is starting a nationwide tour to accomplish that goal. For more information about the tour, visit abbyacrossamerica.com. Abby, welcome. And thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to today's show, of course. One of the things that I wanted to ask you is, of course, there's a lot of people right now who are looking for work. And we know that I personally know a lot of people that are looking and they have specific passions, but they have this it's almost like we often hear. People say, well, you know, my bills are piling up and I'm just open right now to any job at this point. But why is it important, would you say, that they search for a job that they love?
Well, here's the thing. If they take a job that they don't love and then they start looking for another job after they just started a job, recruiters are not going to be all that interested in talking to them if they've only been there for a short time. So what I worry about is people that take jobs and think that they're going to start looking right after they start the job. So what I suggest is that people take a job that they believe they could live with for a year. And I mean seriously live with, like enjoy to the point where they're not miserable. But if a job comes along, like if you have to pay the bills, go work at Home Depot or ShopRite or a store just to pay the bills. Don't make a choice in your own industry or profession and take something you don't love in your industry or profession. Find something else to do to make money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And to add to that, the lack of passion for it will come across.
Yeah, and the thing is, a recruiter would completely understand if you said, I've been working at ShopRite for 3 months and I want to get back into my job in IT or something, but they're not going to understand if you say, I've got an IT job and I want to get out. I just took it because I settled. They're just not going to understand that. And so that's why go take a job, just get some money. And there's lots of ways to just make money to pay the rent. It's just a lot of people are just waiting for the perfect job, and I do want them to wait for the perfect job, but I want them to still be able to pay the rent at the same time.
Right. Now, what if the candidate, like you just said, need the income, or they're seeking a career change, or they're fresh out of college and don't have the experience and they feel the choice? How can they gain that experience if no one will hire them, you know, without it?
Yeah, it's a catch-22, right? You can't get hired without experience, but you don't have experience. It's catch-22. What I would recommend to people is that there's two things. One is volunteer. So get close to the job that you want to get to by volunteering your time. There are many charities that would be very happy to have you. A lot of people want to get into healthcare, and many times you can go volunteer at a hospital and get some experience in that area. The other thing to do is if you're making a career change, so let's say that you want to get into healthcare and you're in IT, well, take a step towards the career change. So maybe you can't get into healthcare right away because healthcare wants healthcare experience. Maybe you can get into something that's close to it, that's not exactly healthcare, maybe pharmaceuticals or something. Take a step towards where you want to go. And then in a couple more years when the economy gets better, then you'll be able to get closer to where you want to go.
Yeah. And because of the Internet, a lot of companies are requesting candidates to, and I've experienced it as well, they want you to send your resume through their website or via email. Because of technology, I guess a lot of people have probably pulled away from doing this, but do you suggest that they still send a cover letter?
I can't even express to you how important a cover letter is right now. It's the most important thing you could possibly do. And the reason is that every single other candidate is sending their resume in. And I call this the black hole. The black hole is the applicant tracking system that you go into when you apply to a company, and you're sort of sitting in there waiting for the recruiter to call you. And when you send a cover letter in, you'll be different than many, many, many of the other candidates. And you'll be able to express in the cover letter why you're different, why a recruiter should call you out of the many, 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 many candidates that are sitting in that same applicant tracking system with you. So the cover letter helps you differentiate yourself from everybody else. It is vital. And you show your passion in there, you show your creativity, you show your writing skills. There's so many great things about the cover letter. You can use it to your advantage, and it's huge. It's very important.
And we also know, like, okay, you've sent in your resume and you've gotten that phone call to come in, but there's a lot of people, such as myself, that have a child with special needs or is running their own business, and they need to work. Or like for me, you know, I may take a temp job or something like that, but it's hard for me to open up and tell the potential employer or the recruiter that, you know, the reason why the gap is on my resume is because I've been working, doing my own business or whatever. So, you know, I must admit that either I won't bring up, you know, I won't bring up my son has Down syndrome. And, you know, and I'm admitting that it might be wrong or maybe not. But also as far as the job, me working from home, me running my own business, I'll just say I've been working from home. What do you suggest in that case?
So it is very important to be honest, but there's certain kinds of things that you don't necessarily have to tell on an interview. So you don't have to tell people that you have a child with special needs. You can just say, I've been out for 3 years taking care of my family. And any normal human being, remember that recruiters and hiring managers aren't you know, normal human, well,
people,
I don't know
yeah.
that they're all
yeah.
normal, but they're human beings, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so they might not be as compassionate, not each one, but most of them either have a wife that takes care of kids or have a mother that takes care of them or, you know what I'm saying? So people understand
yeah.
when they say, I took 5 years off to raise my children, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And no reason why you shouldn't be able to tell people that that's the gap. Now, whether you want to mention the special needs child, the only reason I would do that is if you feel you need some sort of accommodation. In other words, that maybe you have to leave every day at 3 o'clock. And then it's really not about, you just would say, I need to work from 9 to 3. You don't have to tell them why. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just say, I want to go back to work. I've been raising my family for 5 years, but I would like to work from 9 to 3. Is that possible? And if they say no, then you move on to the next position.
Yeah.
And as far as running your own business, this one's a little trickier. Here's the reason. So recruiters tend to be concerned about people that own their own business because they're afraid that you're going to do your own business during the day and not concentrate on your job, and or
right.
that you might do it in the evenings and not want to stay late because of it. So what I would recommend there, a couple things. If you own a business, first of all, on your resume, I wouldn't say that you are the president of that business. You can say that you're the head of marketing of that business. You can be a consultant. But I just wouldn't use the word president. I think that word's going to scare people off. So
yeah.
for me, I'm actually the president of my own company. It's been 6 years. And if I was going to go back in for a regular director of recruiting job, I would say that I've been a consultant for 6 years, which is basically my function.
Right.
Because when you're the president of a company, you're not really – you're acting as lots of different kinds of things. You know, you're doing accounts receivable, accounts payable. You're doing marketing. You're doing sales. So you just
right.
kind of pick one of those titles and choose that for that particular job. And the other thing to do when you're talking to someone about owning your own business is to say that you're planning to give that up, and the reason for that is blah, 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 so that they know that it's not going to keep going.
Yeah.
And that might help.
They want to know that you're going to be committed.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's being honest by saying, you know, I've been coaching or consulting for the past couple of years.
Yeah, well, you can say that if it's true. So because the
yeah.
first thing that I'll say, if you say I've been consulting for the past couple of years, is I would say, oh, great. So what clients have you had and what have you been doing? And
yeah.
if you say, well, I've only had one client and it lasted for 2 months, you know what I'm saying? So you have to just... You could say you've been consulting, you've been coaching, just you have to kind of be able to explain what you've been doing, what kinds of projects. And if you haven't been doing that, then go with the I've been raising my family, because
yeah.
there's no reason anybody should hold that against you.
Yeah. Now let's use another scenario. What if someone has gotten fired from their last job, or they've committed a crime and they feel a little defeated and assuming that they don't have a chance. But as a recruiter, what would you suggest to them?
Well, let's talk about the crime first. The crime is going to be an interesting situation. You're going to want to apply, first of all, for smaller companies. So a small company maybe that has 20 people in it is not necessarily going to do a background check, and they may never know about the crime. So that's
okay.
the first thing. They may be a little bit more forgiving than a larger company. And the
yeah.
other thing is it depends on what the crime is. If you're somebody who murdered somebody, it's going to be a little tricky if someone finds that on your background check. But if it's something like petty theft, it may not be as bad. It also depends on when it happened. If it happened last week, it's a little bit more serious than if it happened when you were 21 and you're now 45.
Right.
So if you were
right.
21 and it happened and you've been working ever since, I don't think anybody's really going to mind. So it really,
yeah.
it completely, totally depends. Now, when it comes to being fired, that's another one where, again, it depends on when it happened. If it happened last week, it's a little bit more serious than if it happened 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I would do is I would describe exactly what happened, and I would describe what you're going to be doing to prevent something like that from happening again. So let's just say that you were in sales and you took a sales position. Actually, let's say you weren't in sales, but you took a sales position and you really weren't doing a good job, so your numbers didn't come in and they fired you. And now you're applying for an administrative assistant position. Well, whether you were good in sales or not really has nothing to do with being a good administrative assistant. So what you would do is you'd be talking about, I did get fired from my last position because I wasn't good at sales. But as you see, I'm not applying for any more sales positions. I'm applying for an administrative assistant position, which I'm excellent at, and I've been excellent at for the past 20 years, blah, 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 blah.
So would you openly tell them that you got fired from your last job?
I would wait until the topic comes up. The problem with not telling them, I mean, you could say I was laid off. You could say the company downsized. You could say a million things, but for the larger companies, they're going to do a background check, and that's where those kinds of things are going to come up. So,
and they'll respect your honesty. Well, for the most part, a lot of them will respect your honesty more than
At some point, if it's a large company, they are going to 1,000% do a background check. So you're going to have to tell them because it's going to come up.
Okay. Now, also during the interview, and I know I have to admit that I get stuck on this question as well, but when I'm asked, what is your greatest weakness? How should we answer this question?
Okay. So what you do there is try to come up with a weakness that you don't feel is detrimental to the job. So, for example, let's say that you are applying to be a receptionist.
Mm-hmm.
Your weakness should not be, I'm mean to people on the phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Or it shouldn't be, I come to work late every day. So
right.
You need to choose the weakness based on the job. The reason, first of all, everyone has weaknesses. Every recruiter has weaknesses, and they know that you have weaknesses, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with having weaknesses because none of us are perfect.
Right.
So what they're trying to figure out when they ask that question is your weakness going to fit in with this job? If your weakness is I come in late every day, that's perfectly fine for a scientist because a scientist doesn't have to come in on time in order to be good. In order to be good, they have to be creative and they have to know their science, but they don't have to show up at 9 o'clock every morning. But a receptionist does. So what you want to do is you want to figure out the weakness before the interview, and you want to explain how you're working on it or how it's really not all that bad and how it's not going to affect that particular job. So can I give you an example of what I would say if someone asked me for mine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
yes.
I'd say, Yvonne, I am a perfectionist. And while that does not normally sound like a weakness, and in many cases that's a strength, for me it's a weakness. And the reason is because as a perfectionist, I hate to finish things because I just want to keep doing them better and better and better and better. So what I would like you to do, Yvonne, as my manager, is I would like you, when you hire me, to give me deadlines. If you give me a deadline and say, here's this project, I need it by Thursday at 3, I will guarantee you that I will have it done by then. If you don't give me a deadline, I will have to come up with my own deadlines. So I prefer if you would just give me deadlines, and then my weakness will be fine. So you can say it like that.
Yeah.
You guys can all borrow that weakness if you want.
Absolutely don't say, I don't have a weakness.
Never, ever say, I don't have a weakness, number one. Number two, don't say, I don't know what it is, because you do know what it is. You just don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So try to find one that is going to work with the job. That's all. Do not say, I don't have one. Because what we will do, here's a trick that I do to get people to tell me their weakness, is I'll say to them, tell me what your manager would say they like about you. And then the person sits there and actually thinks about what would the manager say. And then I'll say, what would your manager say is the one thing that they wish they could change about you? And people will actually tell me the answer. Because I'm not asking them what their weakness is. I'm basically saying, what does your manager think your weakness is? So they'll, I'll actually watch them thinking, and then they'll tell me. And so that's how I get the weakness. It because I have to know what it is. I can't move
yeah.
them forward if I don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And what a, during the interview as well, what are some of the mistakes people make? What is the yeah? What are some of the big mistakes that people make?
Well, I hope you have an hour because there's a lot of them, Yvonne. But I'll give you a few of them. The easy ones are the real simple ones to fix. People don't wear suits anymore, and
yeah.
you got to wear a suit on the interview, even if it's a casual company. You got to wear a suit.
Yeah.
You should bring a copy of your resume. If you're going to be late for an interview, you have to call. I don't care if it's 3 minutes late because we're watching. We're watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't chew gum, and you can't have your cell phone ring in the middle of the interview. These are your basic mistakes. But then the rest of the mistakes involve people not expressing their passion for the job, their career, their industry. You know,
yeah.
if you come in for a position and it's a purchasing position, I want you to tell me why you adore being in purchasing. What is it
yeah.
about purchasing that gets you going every single day? Why do you love to wake up in the morning and go into the job and purchase things for a company? That's what you have to teach me in the interview.
Right.
And most people have no idea how to do that. Most people come in, they're not prepared to explain why they like the company. And
yeah.
it's all about that. Tell me why you want the job and this particular job in this particular company. That's what you have to tell me. And definitely
and it's
have,
just as simple
yeah.
as looking at their website and
yeah.
knowing. Yeah.
It's so simple.
Or about.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
And usually what people do, they do the research, but they'll come in and they'll have the statistics. They'll tell me, oh, I know you have 5,000 people at your company. They'll give the basic statistics, but I want to know, why does that matter to you? Why does it matter that I have 5,000 people? You know what I mean? What is it about the product
yeah.
that I have? What is it about the PR news releases that I put out that make you want to work at this company? That's the stuff people have no idea how to handle, those questions.
So, like we mentioned, you know, a lot of employers are getting swamped. They're swamped with applicants. But what unique things can candidates do to be noticed by the hiring manager?
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of them. The first one is you can fax your resume to a hiring manager.
Mm.
So I've been working as a consultant for about 2.5 years for a client, and during that time, I've recruited about 200 some odd people. And in that time, I have received 0 faxes of resumes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fax your resume, I can be sure that I'm going to see it. Absolutely. There is nothing you can do where I can say to you, absolutely, that's going to work. But a fax will work. And the best way
yeah.
to get the hiring manager's fax number is just to call the receptionist and ask them. You can get the receptionist's phone number pretty easy on Google. And ask them for the fax number, and they'll happily give you a fax number. They won't give you a phone number, but they'll give you a fax number. And so faxing your resume is one thing you can do. The other thing you can do is you can send something in the mail. So, for example, you could send a shoe in the mail, like a baby's shoe or a chocolate shoe, and say in there, I'm just trying to get my foot in the door. With your resume. And you could also send a picture of a pizza or an actual pizza with a missing slice, and you could say, I'm the missing piece of your department. You can say...
So be creative.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
someone once sent me a box of bananas. It was the funniest thing. And yeah, and they said, if you hire me, your sales will go bananas, like through the roof. And so those little creative things that you do, you put them in with your resume, and then you put a cover letter in there talking about why you're so interested in this job and this company and all that. That's where
yeah.
the cover letter comes in. And that makes you stand way outside the crowd. And in this day and age, that is so critical because everybody else is just sort of sending in things through email and on the web, and you're just sitting in that black hole, and that's the problem with all this.
Yeah, yeah. So think outside of the box.
Yeah, and also networking is so huge, and everybody talks about it, but it's using LinkedIn, for one thing, is a huge tool. 93% of the recruiters like me are using it, so 93% of the people you need are there already. And you can use LinkedIn to find out who the hiring manager is for a position. You can search for recruiters on there. It's a great tool. And you can also use it to figure out who you know that might know the hiring manager and who could walk your resume right in there.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know with right now, a lot of people are saying that it's who you know and networking. And in most industries, if not all industries, are crucial to, like you said, get to know who's doing the hiring and to get them to kind of know your name.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Before we go, is there anything, any closing remarks you would like to add?
Well, it really is about doing things differently. And so you have to figure out what you should do is you should go to job search networking events, and you should try to figure out what everybody else is doing. And you should do the exact opposite. So no one else is faxing. No one else is sending things in the mail. No one else is sending shoes. And by the way, with those shoes, I know someone who sent out 8 chocolate shoes, and she told me she got 8 people to call her from 8 chocolate shoes. And, again, there's nothing you'll be doing that will get you 100% return. I met somebody just the other day who told me she sent out 10 shoes and got 5 responses. So even 50%.
Yeah.
But, again, there's nothing you're doing that's getting you 50%. So doing things differently is exactly what you need to be doing, and networking, networking, networking. It's all about all those things.
And the fact that you go above and beyond speaks volumes. To the recruiter.
Definitely, definitely. They're going to think it's brilliant, chances are.
Wow. Well, before we leave, I thank you for everything that you're doing to help people get, you know, stand out and get all, you know, your mission to get 1 million people employed. So, I commend you for doing it, and thank you for doing it. But before we go, if you can give us, tell us where we can order your book, absolutely, Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets, and where we can find more information about all that you're doing.
Sure. Well, my main website is absolutelyabby.com. You can find the book at 101, that's 101jobsearchsecret.com. More importantly, though, if you are a job seeker anywhere in the United States besides New Jersey, I'm going to be going on tour starting in September of 2012 and going literally around the country for 9 months, 38 cities. And if you live in any of the 38 cities that are on my tour website, which is abbyacrossamerica.com, please, please send me an email and tell me where you are and invite me to come to your church, your temple, your group, your school, whatever, wherever you and other job seekers might be, and I will come and speak and provide you with some great tips on how to find a job. And one more little thing is if you are one of those people that thinks that maybe there's something that's causing you not to get a job and you want to try to figure out what it is, you can take a look at my site, which is called kidnaparecruiter.com, and that's where I work one-on-one with people to just tell them why I think they're not landing. And I give them about an hour's worth of time to try to figure that out because I really believe there's 3.4 million jobs available. I don't know if you know that, Yvonne, but there's 3.4 million jobs available, and I think that some of these people that are out of work could be landing in those jobs if they knew why they weren't getting a job. So that's part of the other thing that I do.
Wow. Well, again, thank you so much, and it was an absolute pleasure having you on the show. And
thank you. It was really great to be here.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in Atlanta. And
yeah, well, I really hope to get to meet you while I'm there. That would be fantastic. I'd love to come if you have, you know, a church, a temple, a school, or whatever. Wherever you can get me a bunch of job seekers, I'll come speak there for you.
Thank you so much. And you have enjoyed the rest of the day and the week.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Powers multiply.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
I won't touch.